Well, we're going to begin our continuation of our series here, and we're on our last sermon regarding our Carol series. And if you're just joining us, we've been working through a series of messages using some familiar carols to springboard off of. And our first carol that we looked at a number of weeks ago was O Holy Night. We went from there to O Come All Ye Faithful. And last week we looked at the carol Away in a Manger and talked about that phrase that runs through that song over and over again, that little Lord Jesus. And we talked about our need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, to the Lordship of Christ on a regular moment-by-moment basis. And today we're going to be using the carol O Come, Emmanuel. This song has been around for a very, very long time. They're not exactly sure when it could have been written, but probably somewhere between the 8th and 12th century. It was what was called an O antiphon, and it was used during the season of Advent. And Advent, if you are wondering, simply means arrival, especially something important. And so the church, they have the season of Advent, as they symbolically kind of wait for the coming Messiah. And I think as believers, really, in some ways, we too should be celebrating Advent and using it in a very literal way to focus in on the second Advent as well. We, at Christmas time, often we look at the first Advent, but there's also a second Advent. And the second Advent is Christ coming again. But whatever the case, these Benedictine monks, leading up to the week before Christmas, would sing what was called O antiphons, which basically would mean that the abbot or the leader of it would call out O, and then the rest of the monks would repeat a name of God that they would have found in Scripture. And they sing, and then they would begin to sing about it. And it would be different each day from the December 17th to December 23rd. And they would go through different names of God. And on the 23rd of December was sung the one, O Emmanuel. And they would sing about the truth of Emmanuel. And so this song was birthed. Now our message today is really about the title of that song, Emmanuel. You might be wondering, what does that mean? We use it to describe Jesus, but maybe what does that really mean? It's very simply, it even says in our text this morning, the word Emmanuel means God with us. And this is really going to be the thrust of our message today, God with us. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 to 22, actually as well 23. Cam, do you have 23 on there, or did I just put 1 to 22? You're on the ball. Good. All right. 21 to 23. Excellent. It says this. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray. And God, this morning, we come to you again. And Lord Jesus, I just want to really pray this morning, Father, that you will open our hearts, Lord Jesus. God, I know that you desire to speak to us here today. And Father, to some level, we've heard this idea before, that God, you are with us. But Lord, I pray that wherever those areas that we have just allowed that idea to stay in our head, God, I pray that this morning you'd allow that to penetrate our heart. God, that you are with us. And so, Father, I just pray this morning, open our heart, open our mind to receive today what you would have for us. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. During that verse in Matthew 1:20, verses 22 there and 23, where it says, and all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. He's actually speaking about the prophet Isaiah, and this exact verse and this prophecy can be found in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, some 650 to 700 years before this event took place. He spoke this to God's people. Isaiah spoke this to God's people, the Jews. And the Jews had spent many a day in exile. But God promised through Isaiah that one day the captivity would end and the people would return led by the Messiah. As you see in Isaiah 49, 8 to 10, it says, this is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant from the people and to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. And in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, it says this, the Spirit of the Lord, of the Sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Isaiah preached freedom from the captives, and Israel needed it. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon overthrew Israel. And God, however, restored some freedoms. Cyrus allowed the Jews to return and rebuild the temple, which they rededicated in 516 BC, 70 years after exile. But even this was not complete freedom. Soon the Greek Empire, led by Antioch Epiphanes, I don't know why they have such hard names back then, didn't they? What happened to John Smith? I tell you. Antiochus Epiphanes, I believe, or Epiphanes, took over Jerusalem. He even set up a statue of Zeus in the temple and sacrificed pigs to it. Then a group of Jews, led by Judah Maccabeus, revolted and retook Jerusalem, rededicating the temple in 164. And from this victory comes a celebration of lights, or Hanukkah. But even with their zeal, the Maccabeans could not resist Rome. And in 63 BC, Pompey took Jerusalem. And in 37 BC, Caesar made Herod a proselyte to Judaism, king of Judea. And once again, Israel was ruled by someone else. Now, because of these repeated and continuing captivities, three things seem true of Jewish people at Jesus' birth. The first thing was this, that they seemed to know that they were enslaved. Roman authority was everywhere and evident, and their culture was kind of based part on a history of exile. The second thing was that they seemed to know the words of Isaiah, God's promise of freedom. And the third thing is they seemed to want freedom. Together, these things should make Israel, should make the Jewish people eager to receive a Messiah. How strange then that they reject Jesus, the one whom we sing, O come, Emmanuel, the words go, and ransom captive Israel. But I think the issue really was what they were looking for. God had come. God was there to set them free. God was here to give sight to the blind and heal the sick. He was here to ransom Israel. But because all they could see was their physical captivity, they could not see the freedom that he was there to give. They could not see their hearts. They could not see their need. They could not see where they were spiritually. And so even though God was there with them, even though the God of the universe had come down, stripped himself of his glory, they could not see it. And lest we think that we're any better, we too struggle with this at times. How many times have we faced a dark situation, a situation of great pain, and asked the question, God, where are you? As we might feel alone or hurt. And we ask those questions, God, have you left us? Have you left us? Have you left me, God? The truth is, he's right there. Every step of the way. He is God Emmanuel. God with us. He is with you. He is with you now. He was with you then. And he will be with you forever. And just as those who caught this idea that God was with them when Jesus walked on this earth, when they caught that idea, this is God. He is with us here. Just as when they caught that, if we catch this idea, this truth, not only in our heads, but also in our heart, it will change our life. It can set us free from worry, anxiety, fear, frustration, and instead give us peace, joy, boldness, confidence, contentment, and all these things that we could never know apart from grasping this truth about our Savior. The truth that Jesus is with you, was with you, and will always be with you. We're going to break it down into these three areas, and the first is this. God is with you. An angel went to Mary, a virgin teenager, and in Luke 1:28 it says this, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." The Lord was with Mary in this moment. He did not leave Mary. He was with Mary. And just as God was with Mary in that moment, he is with you in a very powerful way. But a lot of times we do not see it. We don't feel that. We don't feel that he's with us now. But he's with us. As you sit here and listen to me, he is with you. I know a lot of times that we pray, "God, would you be with me as I take this test? God, would you be with me as I enter this court situation? God, would you be with me as I share this or that?" But the truth is, he is with you. He is with you in the good. He is with you in the bad. He does not leave you, nor does he forsake you, as it says in Hebrews. And as you walk through the fire, as Isaiah said, he will be with you. When you are facing trouble, he is with you. Actually, one of the things the Bible calls him in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 5, it calls him the great comforter. The word comfort here is the word parakaleo, which means para means coming along alongside, and kaleo means called to, meaning that he is called to come alongside of you. As you walk through painful parts of your journey, he is alongside of you. And that's a very powerful idea. But a lot of people struggle with it, whether it's because we don't feel God or we don't believe we've been good enough or for whatever reason, we struggle with this idea that God, right now, in my deepest, darkest spot, God is with me. When you are lost, he is with you as your guide. When you are hurting and alone, he is with you as your friend. When you are in the middle of a trial, our God is with you as your comforter. If you are sick, our God is with you as your healer. If you are ever weak, our God is with you as your strength. When you are lost in your sin, he is with you as your Savior. And when you understand this, not only in your head, and you believe it in your heart that God is with you, it changes you. It changes how you act, how you live, how you respond to situations. Do you remember when God was leading the Israelites into the promised land? And as they were getting very close to the promised land, he said, "I want you to send in some spies to look at the land." And so Moses took one of the leaders from each of the tribes of Israel to go and to spy out the land and check it out and see what this land was about. When they came back, there were only two that thought they could actually take this land. When they came back, their report was, "Yeah, man, this is just like God said. This land really is flowing with milk and honey. This is an amazing land. This is great. There's only one problem." What's the problem? "Well, the guys who are inhabiting it are giants. They're huge. There is absolutely no way that we could take this land. So we might as well just find a nice little property somewhere else and we'll settle there." But Caleb and Joshua, they didn't feel this way. And so Caleb, he says this in Numbers 13:31. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And so here we are, Caleb saying, hey, we can take them. Come on, let's do it. Let's go for it. Why? Why did he decide? Why was he alone, him and Joshua, why were they alone in this decision? Why did the other 12 actually kind of make plans to want to stone these guys and try to keep them away from going into this promised land and engaging these giants? Why? Because Caleb knew that God was with them. And this changed, he knew not only in his head, but he also knew in his heart. And it changed how he stepped into this situation. I believe that the other guys probably knew, maybe in their head, yeah, God's with us, I know, took us out of Israel, I know that. But there was something inside Caleb. He really believed that God was with them. And this is what he had called us to. And how we see this truth in our lives often determines how we live and respond to things that we face on our own journey. Maybe as we take in some horrendous news, we respond by saying, this is horrible. I'm going to be okay because God is with me. I have a financial challenge right now. I'm a little scared, but God is with me. And as God calls us on certain things and we step out in faith, as we step out of those things, just like Caleb was stepping out in those things, and maybe it's scary and maybe we're afraid, it's just that fear doesn't have the last word. Because just like Caleb knew, God is with me. And whatever you are facing right now, God is with you. And when you grasp the truth in your heart and your head, you see things from a whole different perspective, from a whole new paradigm. The second truth this morning is that God was with you. God has always been with you. He may not have always lived inside you, but he was has been with you, poking, prodding, sometimes protecting you, directing you. I've talked with countless people who have shared with me, they've said, you know, as I look back over my life, even before I was saved, I can see how God had his hand on me, guiding me and directing me, totally unbeknownst to me. And even as we go through tough stuff as believers and we feel like God has left us, and we look back and we see that God was actually with us the whole time. Do you remember the story of Joseph? For those of you who might not know it, it was a story of a young boy who had a lot of older brothers. By our definition, it was a very dysfunctional family. But God gave Joseph some dreams. And when he started to share these dreams with his brother, his brothers got even more angry and mad at him because he was his father's favorite, and they really didn't like him anyway. And so when he started to share his dreams with them, they hated him even more. And so they devised this plan that they're going to kill him. And this is why I know it's a dysfunctional family, because usually brothers don't want to kill their brothers unless there are some other issues going on. But anyway, they are going to kill him. And so there's, well, what are we going to tell Dad? Well, let's just tell him some animal got him. And so just before they're about to kill him, one of his brothers, his good brother, stands up for him in a roundabout way and says, well, you know, we shouldn't kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. I mean, if that's the good brother, you know you have some sibling issues. Oh, that's so much better. Thank you. And he sells him into, and so they sell him into slavery. And Joseph goes from being a slave, he ends up being falsely accused, and now he's a prisoner. And at the end of the story, Joseph looks back on his life. And he's now second in command of all of Egypt, saving the people and the country from certain annihilation and starvation. And he can see as he looks back over his life how God used all of his pain, used his trials, and could see that God was with him. As you see in Genesis 50:20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Often God is easier to see in the rearview mirror than he is in the moment. You look back over the series of events in your life and you see how God was with you then. As I look back over my life, I can see how God has been with me over the years. How he infected my thoughts, helped me make right choices even beyond myself. I see how he has been with me when me and Christina, when we were first married, we didn't have a penny to our name, and God continued to provide month after month, from food to money to clothes to opportunities. Every need we had, he provided for in some supernatural way. God was with me in dumb choices and even had mercy on me when I should have gone down. I remember life-threatening situations, climbing a waterfall in Victoria, almost plummeting to my death, driving, welding, catching on fire almost every day. Where was God, we say? He was with me. As I made choices for my future, and I continue to make choices for my kids and my family, God is and was there. This last year, we had to make a choice. We were going to pull Austin out of Christian school and put him into public school, and we're wondering, oh no, what's going to happen now? Is he going to be totally ruined? What's, you know, these fears as a parent? You know, you're uncertain. You don't know what to do. And so we said, well, let's pray. I know there are thoughts on both sides, and they're fine, but really each kid's different, and we need to make a decision for Austin and God's direction for his life. And so we prayed, just as we did when we put him in the first time. God, where do you want him? And so I prayed. I said, God, where do you want him? Christina prayed. God, where do you want him? We said, Austin, you pray too, because we want to know where you feel God's leading and directing you. And so he prayed. And we all prayed, and we all came to the same conclusion that this is where God was going to lead him to Windsor High School. And so what a great step it's been. What a phenomenal thing it's been for him. And so we're just saying, God, thank you. God, thank you that you are with me. You are with me every step of the way. As I walk through challenging moments, I only need to turn around and then say, oh yeah, there you were. And you have never left me, not once. And so on completely logical sense, God, why would you leave me now? And so by faith, I can accept your presence now because of what you've shown me before. And if you're having a tough time now wondering where God is, ask him first where he was. Go for a walk in the trees, get alone with God, and ask him to bring to mind all those moments. As you look over your life and he shows you those moments, and sometimes we need to be reminded because we forget very quickly. And so he does this, and it may take a while, but as he does, I believe that even though you wonder now, even though you ask the question now, even though you say, God, where are you now? Because of what he has done in the past, you will be able to have faith for the truth now, that he is with you now. Even though you may not be able to see him in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of whatever you're going through, because of what he has done, because he has showed himself there, you can have faith for that moment that even though I don't feel you right now, God, I believe and trust that you are with me. The third thing this morning, he is with you. He was with you. And finally, he will be with you. He is someone you can count on in the future. There is one thing in life that gives us more pain, more anxiety, more stress, more sleepless nights, more worry, more trouble, more fear than anything else. You want to know what it is? It's the future. If you think about it, probably 99.9% of the things that you worry and struggle and wonder about are things that are going to be taking place in the future. The future is unknown to us. We don't know what lies behind curtain number one. We don't really know if our business will go under, or if our kids will be safe, or if we'll have a job, or if our kids will get a job in the future, or if we'll get sick, or if our loved ones get sick, or if they will like my ideas when I come to the office, or if the girl at school will like me back, or what will I do with my future? Will I be able to get a job? Will I ever get married? Will I have kids? Will I die alone? Will the world end? And on and on and on it goes. And we worry, we stress, we wonder. We do our best, still knowing that the future will have the final say in the uncertain lives that we live here on earth. But when this truth moves from our head to our heart, it changes how we live. Instead of fear, there is peace. Instead of hoarding, there is contentment. The future becomes not so scary anymore. Oh, we're going to face trials, don't get me wrong. But you can walk through them because your dad's going with you. I have walked through some scary times with my kids. Well, they thought they were scary. It's all a matter of perspective, really. I remember when we were kids and we were going through a very scary moment for my three-year-old. We went to Disneyland and Mickey Mouse was there. And you think, that's your scariest time? Well, for him, it was very scary. There were giants in the land and he was big. And you'll notice if you ever come over to our house and you have pictures, you drag out our photo albums, you'll notice Jordan kind of like this with me around because he didn't want to go close. But he would go close. He would come up. He would talk. He would, if I would go with him. If I would go with him. And so we've walked through these for him, scary times. But they're not really scary for me. And as I thought about my own life and I thought about growing up, it's funny, as a kid, I never worried about money. I never worried that we might not have enough. I never worried that our life might be one disaster from falling apart. I lived in the same house, part of the same family. It's just I kind of left those things to my dad. Didn't stress, didn't worry. As I look at my own kids now, if you have little kids, do you ever think, man, wouldn't it be nice to be a kid again? You know, all you really have to worry about is doing your schoolwork, enjoying your friends. No real worries. It sounds good. Don't worry about the future, because that's what the adults do. When we see God as with us in our future, whatever we will face, it changes how we live. We don't have to stress about it because we know that whatever comes, my dad is coming with me. When it goes from knowing it up here in our head to believing it down here in our heart, it changes things. The future isn't so scary anymore. And we can walk with courage for one reason. The Lord goes with us. Just as he told Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:6, it says this, is God talking to Joshua, and he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Joshua, listen, I know that you're scared, but don't worry. Be strong and courageous. I know that there are frightful things that are coming your way. I know that in your mind, this whole thing could go sideways. I know that. But be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or terrified because of them. And this is the reason why, the second part of that verse, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Unless you think this is just an Old Testament only for Joshua thing, if you look in Hebrews chapter 13, 5b and verse 6 as well, it says this. It says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He takes that quote right out of the Old Testament there from Deuteronomy 31:6, and he plants it right there in Hebrews for the New Testament believers. And he says, because of this, so we say with confidence. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The trials that we face, the things, the uncertainty of our future is completely uncertain and unknown to us. We do not know, but in reality it says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me, really? God is with me. He's not going to leave me. God is with you. You have nothing to fear. Oh, Emmanuel, God with us. We've heard it so many times, yet when we meditate on that, yeah, that is an amazing, amazing truth. God is with us. The almighty, holy, powerful creator of the universe with little old me. You are not alone. You do not have to ask God to go with you or beg him to be with you. He is with you. Like it or not, better or worse, he's there. He is with you. He was with you, and he will always be with you, and don't miss it. Like when his people were looking for a different salvation. They had been in physical captivity for so long, they were looking for a different salvation. Looking for a different freedom. And they missed it. God was standing right there in the flesh beside them the whole time. And they missed it. Don't miss this. Because when we get it, when we see it, it changes everything. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and we're going to sing this song. O come, Emmanuel. Jesus. Well, let's pray together. God, we come to you today. And Lord, as that song says, rejoice, rejoice. God, we rejoice, Father, as we look forward to this moment, Christmas, where we celebrate, God, not your beginning, but your invasion. God, you have always been and you always will be. But God, you invaded earth to save us, to bring freedom, to ransom us, Lord Jesus. And God, we thank you for that. God, we rejoice in that this Christmas season, Lord Jesus. God, there is none like you, God. God, you are God Emmanuel, God with us, Lord Jesus. God, you have always been, you will be, you have always been with us, God. You never were anywhere else, God. God, you will be with us, Lord Jesus. Whatever we face, whatever we walk through, God, you will be with us. God, you are the God who will not leave us, and you are the God that will not forsake us. And God, in you we have nothing to fear. Lord Jesus, I thank you for that truth. And God, I pray for each one of us here today that God, you would allow us to take that truth and move it from something maybe that we just know and move it into the depths of our heart. So we, like Caleb, when we face those giants, can say, hey, let's go. God is with us. Oh God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness to us. And God, I pray now as we go, God, use our lives, we pray, to bring glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to thank you for coming and being here today, and join us on the patio for coffee. And if you've come today and you're in need of prayer, any type of prayer at all, maybe not even in regards to the sermon, but just something you're working through, I will have some people over here that would love to pray with you. And don't forget your connection cards and prayer cards going in the box today. Bless you, and have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll see you actually tomorrow evening at 6 or 7:30.